Come to Joshua chapter 13. And we read in Joshua 13 verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. Much land to be possessed is the title, but the main title is continue to be lessons from the Canaan conquest. What lessons is for us from the Canaan conquest? It's my endeavor to show you those lessons. Chapter 13 begins another division of the book of Joshua. It runs really till down to chapter 17, where the remaining land of Canaan is allocated to the other 9.5 tribes in Israel. I'm just giving you the history, which I ought to. Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh already were given their inheritance before the crossing of the Jordan. Moses did that. You can read that in the book of Numbers. It's a picture, really. And I wouldn't get into it and show you that God had a people on the Old Testament side of the cross. And that's really the picture, but we wouldn't get into that today. But the remaining tribes had not been allocated their land at this point. And here Joshua is admonished, really, by God with these words. Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. That's what God said to his servant. Just because you're old, Joshua, you're working done. Joshua was in his mid-80s, just as his colleague Caleb was. They outlived all the other Israelites their age who died in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb foresaw the Lord's ability to keep his promises. All the others in that generation perished because of unbelief. They voted no. Can't go in. Too many giants. God in Abel. Sound bad, but that's what we actually say. God is able to save me, maybe is he able to keep me saved? But this verse attests to the fact that no person can outlive the work of God. Men will pass on, but God's work will go on until Jesus comes. And I think we ought to know this. God can do without us. It's a joy to serve him. To summarize what we said before in Joshua's 10 and 11, you may remember Joshua had conquered the southern and the northern part of Canaan. We read in Joshua 11, if you go back a page, in verse 23, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. He said this is a summary. Joshua chapter 12, there's a record of names and places where Joshua had captured. But Joshua 11:23 said emphatically, and the land rested from war. But though there was a cessation of war, there was not a relaxation from work. Israel's work and Joshua's work had just begun. They were to possess the land of the Canaanites. There are spiritual lessons for us in this historical information. The Lord Jesus has rested from his labors. But the life of the Christian is not a life of ease. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. If you think that the Christian life in your later years is a life of ease, you haven't understood the gospel. Christians do not work for salvation, but the saved will work out their salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is God that willeth to us to do of his good pleasure. Christ has conquered the enemy. This is a spiritual principle, but a believer in Christ will seek to possess his vessel. In the lives of true believers, there is a daily life of what we call progressive sanctification. Conquering the land of Canaan was only the beginning. Claiming and remaining in the land was another story. Back in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verses 29 and 30, if you care to go quickly to that text. It's in Exodus, the second book in the Bible, easy to find. Just take one chunk, you can turn there. Exodus 23, 29 and 30, the Lord said this to Moses about entry into the land of Canaan and the heathen nations that were in the land. He said, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. God does not eradicate a Christian's old nature because they are converted. He does not eradicate it. He doesn't eradicate all of our sin one time. Neither does he eradicate remaining sin in our lives. Suddenly, he's not going to come down and snatch our sins out of us. There's a day-by-day progression in grace and sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Their hills and their valleys and their mountains and their plains yet to be crucified in our lives. Hills and mountains is what everybody sees, but their valleys that are hidden still have to be conquered. Still the lustful eye that some of us have to conquer. There's still a love for pleasure to be conquered. There's still the element of pride, foolish pride, to crucify. Oh yeah. Advancing in years, we may, but there remaineth much more land to be conquered. Understand, there are lessons to learn. Some have much more than others. Much, much more. Also said to the Thessalonians, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. It's one thing to own an inheritance. It's another thing to possess that inheritance, to claim it, to keep it. I know many homeowners that inherited property, but they failed to possess that property they own, or they have inherited. They will soon become overrun with weeds, mildew, animals, and the parrots. You know what I mean by parrots. If you don't know, ask somebody. They'll tell you. It's amazing you leave a house shut up for a year and you go back and you see these people moving. That's what happened to a life that is not owned by Christ. Much land to be possessed. That's the life. One says, Jesus has become my Savior. Christ has conquered the enemy on my behalf. But their lives never reflect the life of one who has been given an eternal inheritance. It will be just like what the Lord said, where the person just makes a profession of faith, but never had possession of the Holy Spirit. The Lord said when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and find none. Then says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he came, he find it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and take with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. It's not enough to clean up your house, your heart house. It's not enough to be religious. I come to the stated meetings. What do you want me to do? I sing. I read the Bible. Not enough. You need to have the indwelling of the Spirit of God that direct you in His Word, the Spirit of God that you love, the Word of God in your soul that moves you. You need to have those, lest your end would be worse than the beginning. There are many who claim to have the inheritance, but they're not occupying that inheritance. They're not claiming Christ as their own. They're not living for Him at all. We should take note. There are lessons to learn from the Canaan conquest by the Curtis. It's not easy to find these truths, and it's not easy to deliver these truths. Times you're pointing at others and four fingers pointing back at you. I must practice what I preach. There's one thing to say that the Lord has given us salvation, but there's another thing to be living as though we possess that great, that wonderful salvation. We do not simply float to heaven. There's much more land to be conquered. There are rocky waves to get over. Rocky waves in this life. These words in Joshua are for us. The one who believes on the Son of God has eternal life. Christ has conquered death. On our behalf, life we live ought to reflect that we are inheritors of grace. Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very, emphasized, very much land to be possessed. These words in Joshua 13 must be taken from a literal point of view in the context. We must interpret this literally. Joshua was toiling from his youthful years. He conquered the land as promised. You see these things. Lost some battles. Ai, defeated. He got up and he went again. But children of Israel had not claimed their inheritance. The text shows that the only creatures, this text, who do not have a retirement package are the Lord's people. If we haven't learned this yet, we are sadly mistaken. Now, I'm not talking about retirement from the office or the place of work. We're not speaking of retirement from the pastoral office. I'm speaking of retirement from the regular duties and disciplines of the Christian life. There's no retirement package. A believer doesn't stop supporting the cause of Christ and the church. Where did we get that from? Many men and women in their latter years have resorted to more usefulness in the ministry. The pastor that I learned from in his youthful years when he could no longer hear how to drum, resort to writing books. And today we have many volumes from his hand. Most of the books you read are from men in their later years laboring. But this verse must be first taken literally. Joshua had become old, a senior in age. And God reminds his servant, "Thou art old and stricken in years." Today, old age is a bad word. Some of you don't want to be considered old. As long as you're 50 and past, you're old. I don't care what you wear. You're old. But have you been maturing spiritually? Old is not a bad word. Neither is old is a number. It's a reminder that we are stricken in years. And there's still much land to be conquered. Life is short. Very short. I don't even bother to look in the mirror now. I used to have hair on my head. But it is a reminder. And some of you who shave your head is embarrassed. You don't want nobody to know you're bald. But I bald. Hopefully that's wisdom. There's more to be accomplished. The old patriarch Job says that man that is born of a woman is of a few years and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Two images God used to describe our lives. A flower, a shadow. The text says, "And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." At this point in time, as I said to you, only part of the land was possessed in Israel. Read it historically. Relaxation and ease set in. Drop down to verse 13 of the text quickly. Joshua 13, verse 13. "Nevertheless, the children of Israel expel not the Geshurites, nor the Machathites, but the Geshurites and the Machathites dwell among the Israelites until this day." You see this? Relaxation. They didn't drive them out. Comfortable. "God, give us the land. Let the enemy stay. Maybe we can get some taxes from them. Maybe we can benefit from them." But God said something to Moses. The danger of this prohibition of complacency. He said in Numbers 33, 55, "But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Many of us are failing to deal with indwelling sin. Ever so often, it comes up in the office, in the sanctuary, comes up. We're failing to deal with those sins. God went on to say, moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. God is all wise. Complacency with remaining sin in a professing Christian soon becomes customary and practice. We get to like it. I deserve the right to hate you or to cuss you out when I'm ready. That's my right. That's anger. I deserve the right to be bitter for as long as I can. That's my right. There is much land to be conquered. Many are failing to see that toying with these things is bad. The only time that you and I stop growing in grace is when we're dead. The only time we stop learning of Christ is when we are removed from this earth. The children of Israel expel not the Geshurites, nor the Mashurites. For what reason they did this? They did not expel these Canaanite elements. It's because there was some personal benefit for them. Joshua was a man of war from his youthful years. But God reminded his servant, the very first verse, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Joshua, don't get comfortable. Don't teach your people to get comfortable. So firstly, these words must be taken from a literal point of view in the context. Joshua became old. But these words are meant to be taken from a personal point of view. We should look at these words from a personal point of view. In other words, we should apply these words personally. They apply to every person who say that Jesus has become their Savior. No matter where we are planted on this side of eternity, there is yet very much land to be possessed. You may be confined to a medical facility and still have many of our faculties intact. We should be thankful. There may be others in our sphere who need prayers. In need of a Christian witness. In need of hearing the word of God. Hopefully you got a Bible and it didn't chop somewhere. Haven't you considered these things? These words should be taken personally, no matter where you are. And some of us have resigned to idleness. Jerry Springer here just died. Don't worry, I keep up to date. I want to know. Because I want to be an effective preacher. You get many rough edges. We all have them. Pride in our hearts. Can't say anything. And if you do, you get a cold shoulder. There may be still selfishness, stubbornness, unkindness residing in many of us. That's lying that we possess. The psalmist says, O God, thou hast sought me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Psalm 71, 17 and 18. No matter where you are in age, no matter where your life is at present, there is an opportunity, if you are a believer, for usefulness. Scripture reminds us, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He's my rock. There's no unrighteousness in him. Spiritual fruitfulness is contingent upon where one is planted. The palm tree. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. The courts of our God. Notice where they flourish. You do not have to be in a church building to be planted in the house of God. The Bible says the Lord is the temple. Believers are in Him. If we are planted by the television most of the day, don't expect to yield fruit. Spiritual fruit. Our latter years in life can still bring forth fruit. I'm speaking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about ackees and plums and mangoes. The late New York Yankees icon is famous for his unique line that I've heard him say so many times. It ain't over till it's over. Now that may sound funny. It may sound a little irony about his words. Some mock at them and says Yogi Berra was not an intelligent guy. But he makes sense. Abundant sense. It's not over until it's over. It's not over until the last batter is out. You know, the same thing in cricket. Number 10 and 11 at the bat, and 100 more yet runs to get, and we say it's over. No, it's not. The two of them stand up and make the 100 runs. The Christian life is not over until the Lord calls us from this earth. Yogi Bear is right. It ain't over. Our work is not over until our life is over. So you need to thank God for Yogi Bear. We should be still mindful of our calling and giving to the Lord's work. I am sure that many who are resorted in their place still get a social security check. Have you considered the ministry? There is much more land to be possessed. We should consider this text personally. Just because you are nursing a sickness doesn't mean, as I said, that God's word has stopped. We should be mindful of our calling in the grace of giving. Don't forget this grace. So let us take these words personally. Thirdly, these words should be considered from a spiritual vantage point. age does not exempt any Christian from what Peter commands, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. Why can't I see to read? You can hear. Every message that we preach is streamed. You can hear. Who are you kidding? This message, these words, should be taken from a spiritual perspective. If there's any spiritual life in me and you, you should understand these words from a spiritual perspective. Age doesn't limit God from speaking to us. The text says, "And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old, stricken in years." God knows our frame. Charlie, maybe you can benefit from this. But Pastor, I'm in a wheelchair. There's much more land to be possessed. He knows we are dust. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That doesn't change. We are changed. And we look into the glass. Paul said, but we all, not some, but we all are being changed. Another verse says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, providing we do have an inward man. Some of you might not even have an inward man, you don't know what that is. Don't have the Holy Spirit, not led by Him, not controlled by Him. Not influenced by Him. It's all of the flesh. Such a thing as an inward personality. Prior to salvation, we didn't have that. After conversion, there's a difference. There's an inside person who speaks to us. No, you're wrong. No, you should listen to that counsel from that brother. That's the inside part. This is the real you, the inside. Words in Joshua 13 must be taken from a literal point of view. They must be taken from a personal point of view. They must be taken from a spiritual point of view. Scripture says, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. The Lord tell him, you are old. And the Lord tells us when we are old, because He tells us how much life He has given us. Somebody say you can only walk 50 yards in a 100-yard ballpark. The moment you start, the other 50 are up going out. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Should remind us of the fleeting passing of time. Ought to be a progression in the spiritual lives of God's people. Advancement in years does not mean a decrease in love for God. I may not have very many more years to travel down to Africa, but this is for me. And those of you who go there know this to be a fact. I ain't finishing until the Lord called me home. It ain't over until it's over. You hear what I said? If I don't serve here, I'll serve somewhere else. Should remind you of the fleeting passing of time and so little that we are doing. And don't let this be just another message. I've heard it before. There ought to be a progression in our spiritual lives. Lord has not given us a retirement package from spirituality. Not at all. Not from what I've read. Jacob, the years of my pilgrimage is 130 years, and I have not attained to the pilgrimage of my fathers in Egypt before Pharaoh. He blesses his sons. Still going. Finally, these words that are repeated to us can be looked upon from a ministerial point of view. There's four heads. From a ministerial point of view. If you're a Christian, if you're a church member, these words are for you. Ponder them. One text. Many of us think, as I say, the word old is a bad word. Don't ask a woman her age. Don't make that mistake. You can ask a man. But some men like to take off 2 and 3 years too. But don't ask a woman. It's an insult to her. From the time I said you reached that mark, you're old. You are not young anymore. You can put on whatever wax, you're not young. But these words in Joshua can be taken from a ministerial point of view. That's what Joshua was doing. There are many things in this physical building being overlooked. There are very few men that are ever available to possess this building. Yes, we own the building by God's grace. And it's an example of what I showed you literally with a person that has inherited a property. Yeah, we have owned the building. But the building ain't going to run by air and just dropping in some money in the offering. The Bible says, by slothfulness the building decays, and by idleness the house drops through. Solomon said that. Yes, the City View Baptist Church owns this building. Mr. Foster doesn't own it anymore. But are we gainfully attending to this building as stewards? Or are we leaving it for one man? I don't care where you live. This verse should be taken ministerially. Come on, wake up with me. Don't want to hear. Too far. Too long. Don't want to hear. Too busy. Work 7 till 5. Still more time in the day. Advancement in years doesn't mean anything much for a believer. We must never think that our time to serve God has ended. If we still have our normal faculties, losing my memory little by little, coming on slowly, forget this thing, put something on the table, like taking this with me. By the time you get to the church study, you forget your sandwich.
It's happening.
Now, what I need to do is write it down on the fridge. Brian, take your sandwich. That's what I start doing. I'm not embarrassed to tell you. But that isn't stopping me from coming. As much as the Apostle Paul had accomplished in his closing years, we read something very interesting about Paul. It says, and Paul dwelt 2 full years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Paul was done as an apostle. He went to his house. But look what we read. The words of Joshua. Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This ought to be viewed from a ministerial point of view. Reformation is only a doctrine. Reformation continues. We always must be reforming our lives, our church, our worship. The work of Jesus has not ended because of our advancement in years. We are still to strive to enter the straight gate, for broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many would be on that way. Caleb, I'll get to him sometime, testified in Joshua 14, now therefore give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord has spake in that day, more than 40 years ago, thou heardest it. Joshua, you was with me in that day. How the Anakims were there. And that the cities were great and faint. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Caleb was 85 years old, and still battling the giants, the Anakims. The Anakims intimidated the 10 spies who voted no to Israel entering the land. Okay, and he says, give me, I will drive them out. There's remaining sin. Draw nigh unto God. He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is how we are to understand the Canaan conquest. Who wants to know that Joshua went into Canaan and destroyed around the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites? History. What does that want to do for me? The most of the tribes did not claim their inheritance. They were relaxing now. The war is done. God spoke. As we advance, brethren, this church, this ministry, as we advance, children, young people, as we advance, there will be giants, Anakim. There will be sinful tendencies that we still have, that we are failing to conquer. Now and again, you see, you can't, you get over one thing, and then all of a sudden, you got to deal with something else. We should listen to the Word of God. We must practice, by all means, the Word of God. This is how the Anakim, or the Anakims, will flee. You remember to run them back? This is what James meant. Draw nigh unto God. He draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. This is how we are to understand this conquest. A verse that I've shared 20 times. These words are to be taken literally. They are to be viewed personally. Take a hold of them for yourself. Providing you have been converted. They are to be taken spiritually if you are a spiritual person. We are to show forth the blessed fruit of the Spirit. But we just conclude by saying these words should be viewed ministerially from a ministerial point of view. The church. What am I doing as a man, as a woman? How am I possessing this building that God gave me? What time do I have? There's no retirement package for the child of God. Are you insensitive? No, I'm not. Ask Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting. Ask Anna, a widow. 80 years, waiting to take up that Messiah. Ask Simeon, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace. According to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That land is what I'm talking about, which thou hast prepared. Ask the psalmist, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Do not expect to run at the same speed or walk at the same pace we walked when we were 40. I'm not being ridiculous, but God says this. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint. You notice young people today? Too tired. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not get tired. He's talking about spiritual walking. I can't run behind a bus like some of you, or run through an airport to get a flight. Nowadays I get on that trolley. Let's get there as quick as I can and as simple as I can. I see a lot of people getting wheelchairs. I mean, I see them in Barbados running up and down Broad Street. But to get a wheelchair for the plane. But I thought you were in a wheelchair. Oh, that was for the plane. But God gave us strength to do His will and to do His work. Ponder this text. We have labored on it. Labored on it, not him. The Christian is the only creature who does not have a retirement package. Let's pray.
Amen.
Help us to understand our calling. Help us to fulfill our calling, Lord. The very life that you have given to us. is the very life we owe to you, as Isaac Watts said. We give you what is thine own, O Lord. Bless the time and bless the word. In Jesus' name, amen.